Bob and I both got a chance to see the most recent play to come through Washington, Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf? It stars Kathleen Turner and Bill Irwin, the two actors who brought the revival to Broadway. Next up on the tour, Los Angeles, where it opens Tuesday. Here's a little spine-tingling taste. Just a warning first, there is language some might find offensive.
It's not tonight at Daddy's party. I sat there at Daddy's party and I watched you. I watched you sitting there. I watched all the younger men around you, the men who are going to go somewhere. I sat there and I watched you. And you were there! And it snapped! Finally! I'm going to howl it out. I don't give a goddamn what I do anymore. I'm going to make the biggest goddamn explosion you ever heard.
You try it and I'll beat you at your own game.
Is that a threat?
That's a threat, Martha.
Oh, you're going to get it, baby.
Be careful, Martha. I'll rip you to pieces.
You aren't man enough. You haven't got the guts.
Total war.
Total.
Just before Kathleen Turner ended her run at the Kennedy Center here in Washington, I sat down with the actress in her hotel suite to talk about her career on film and on stage.
You did this on Broadway. You took it to London. Mm-hmm. You've been here for about a month. You're on your way to Los Angeles now.
Right. And then we do Chicago and San Francisco and a week in Tucson.
Funny thing is, you don't look exhausted. You look wonderful.
Well, thank you very much. I don't feel exhausted. There's a rhythm to the show now, and with a good audience and a good response, when you're just doing it to a rehearsal room or an empty theater, it's absolutely exhausting. It's just so draining. But as soon as you get an audience in, there's so much energy that comes back at you. There's so much of the laughter and the wit and people holding their breath, and, you know, toward the end you hear those little, you know, which is always fun. I feel it builds energy for me as we go through the show.
But the role of Martha in particular, it's very physical.
Well, everything I do is very physical. I don't know how to do it any other way. Yeah.
And I would think emotionally draining. I felt somewhat drained at the end
of the
third
act. Well, you're supposed
to.
Edward Albee says that a really good play has to make the audience work also. So sometimes, yeah, people come backstage and they're like, I'm so tired. Yeah, which means we did our job well.
I read somewhere, and this was from an interview that you did back in the 80s, that sometimes in your roles you would spend all the pent-up anger that you might have built up over the past few years.
Yeah.
I would think this role would be a good one for releasing all kinds of things.
It is, in fact. I seem to, over the years, and this is 07 is my 30th year. I think I'm going to have a party. Anyway, they have survival, a 30-year survival party.
30 years of acting.
Yeah. But I have seemed to operate a great deal of the time on a kind of anger, on an inner sort of, I don't know, sort of inherent rage of some kind. And I do find when I first started doing Martha on Broadway, you know, when I would go home or I would be in another sort of situation, if I could feel things start to escalate, I would like go, oh no. No, I'm doing that tonight, okay? You know, don't need to do it right now. Thank you, not being paid. So I actually found it a deterrent to my temper, which is rather nice.
What really makes you angry?
Well, I've been thinking about that for a lot of years, honey. The lack of, oh, heavens, a great deal to do with our culture, which upsets me in terms of, I guess I sort of have, oh, heavens, in a nutshell, believe in a meritocracy, and I don't see it very often. And it just makes me angry. People, lack of courtesy, lack of awareness of other people, you know, this self-absorption.
Do you find that because of your first movie role, which was Body Heat, this incredibly hot role, Maddie Walker was her name, that people treated you a certain way?
They tried. I had never really thought of myself very much as that kind of sexual icon or whatever. No, truly. My greatest fear doing Body Heat was that I would cast a smoldering look at Bill Hurt and people would giggle, you know. I mean, I really, Bill and Larry kept telling me, no, it's, you know, you got it, it's working, it's, you know, I'm, yeah. But it wasn't really until I saw it and saw people's response that I thought, oh, okay. But that became another tool, you know, another aspect that I could use in my work. So I was determined for my next film to expose a different kind of talent, and found The Man with Two Brains, you know, with Steve
with
Martin
Steve
and
Martin.
Carl Wright. And, of course, their first response was, well, yeah, you're sexy, but are you funny? I said, I'm very funny, and proceeded to make a fool of myself in the meeting. And they
what
said,
did you do?
Oh, I think I threw myself over a table. I climbed up Steve's leg. I told Carl Reiner a long story joke, you know. Anyway, it worked.
You bring a little bit of that humor to the role of Martha in Edward Albee's Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf? But in
Absolutely.
A much different way.
Well, when I first met with Edward, now, there really is some history here, which is quite true, that when I was 20, I suppose, I read the play and thought, oh, when I'm 50, I have to do Martha. So when I was 49, I started to lobby, you know, for the role. Now, it's only been done twice in New York, once by Uta Hagen, the original production, and once in 75 by Colleen Dewhurst. And Edward has never allowed it to be done again in New York. So I thought, first of all, it was time. And secondly, you know, I was the right one for it. So when I finally got to sit down with Edward and everything and say, look, I think it's time to do Martha. He said, well, why, you know, why you? Why do you feel this? I said, well, because in large part, I don't think anyone's ever quite realized the comedy and the wit that's in this play. I mean, people laugh, belly laughs, throughout the play. It isn't that terrible film where, you know, it's just two drunks screaming at each other. Why would
the
you
one
want to
with
spend
Elizabeth
any...
Taylor and oh, Richard
let
Burton
us not,
and a lot
let
of people
us not
think
name
of.
That. I know it does. It had a great impression. But it's completely misleading to me. So Edward said, what do you want? I said, I want to do a reading for you. I want to read Martha for you. That's all I want. And at the end of the reading, he said, so when do you want to do it? And the next week, I turned 50. So I thought that was pretty cool.
You make me puke.
What?
You make me puke.
That wasn't a very nice thing to say, Martha.
That wasn't what?
A very nice thing to say.
I like your anger. I think that's what I like about you most, your anger. You're such a simp.
There is a common mistake made in doing this play that they're like, they equal fighters. Like they both pick up, you know, swords or cudgels or something and wail away at each other as though they were pretty much fighting in the same style. That's not the case at all. I mean, George plans and waits and finds a point of weakness and then, you know, attacks with his sword. Martha picks up a baseball bat and just flails around, you know, like just whatever she can connect with. So the juxtaposition of their styles is the effectiveness and also shows the connection, the interdependence that they have for each other.
You've done this show in three cities. Mm-hmm. Another show you took on the road, Tallulah.
Oh, yeah. We did about 12 cities then, I think, yeah.
Now, I read where your father was in the Foreign Service, so
yes.
You traveled around the world
we did.
As
we
a
grew
kid.
Up, I grew up mostly Canada, a couple years here in Washington, Cuba, Venezuela, London.
Does that prepare you for hotel rooms in different cities?
No, we lived in homes, but what it does do is help you to adjust more easily, to learn. There are many actors who were in the services, you know, those families were in the services, not always Foreign Service. But changing schools, changing countries, changing cultures does sort of teach you to present yourself, you know, to walk into a new situation and assess it and be able to present, you know, what you'd like to project.
Almost acting?
Almost acting. When I moved from Venezuela to London, you know, I had sort of redesigned my whole, you know, that the girl who was in Caracas was not going to be the girl that London saw, you know, kind of thing. I had all my plans. Of course, it doesn't really work that way, but...
You know, after your screen debut and some of the subsequent roles, things started changing for you about that ripe old age of 35, mm-hmm. as far as roles go? What?
Oh, it was more than the age, in a sense. When I was 37, I was diagnosed with rheumatoid arthritis. And it took us years to get it under control, with the result that there was a great deal of damage, a great deal of pain, immobility. I couldn't take a lot of jobs because I didn't think I could do them. I couldn't physically live up to my obligations. I mean, now we have some amazing new drugs, and I'm in remission.
You let people think at that time that it was alcoholism or it was something else.
Well, I mean, look at it. It's people hire, you know, drunks and druggies all the time in the industry, but throw a mysterious illness at them, and it's frightening to people.
People were very vicious in the things they would write about you during that time, because you were taking the steroids, your face had puffed up.
I was way heavy on prednisone. You know, that stuff is really... But without it, I couldn't walk, literally. You know, without it, I was in a wheelchair. You know, getting up and down the stairs was a little more important than some article in a rotten paper.
Is that about the time you started to think more seriously about spending more time on the stage?
No, I always had. Always. I had always planned, as I got older, some of the greater roles were on stage for women, as they decline in film. So I've never gone more than two and a half years without doing stage. Never wanted to lose the skills, never wanted to get afraid of it. So many actors I know who became successful in film had left, you know, the stage for years and years and were terrified to go back, and felt themselves to be targets of the theater critics, you know, because of their success in film. And in fact, when I went back to do Cat in a Hot Tin Roof, you know, I got calls from Michael, from Danny, from all these people saying, don't do it, you know, you're just setting yourself up. And I said, no, you don't understand, I'm better on stage, you know.
Why are you better on stage?
Oh, it lets me use everything. In film, as precise and as fantastic as that can be, I feel like I'm acting in pieces. You know, okay, it's a shot of my eyes, it's a shot of my upper body, it's a shot of my feet. You know, they're always telling me to stop projecting, you know, bring my voice down. The mic people, the sound people are always, could you be a little softer? But it's not a whole feeling. And an editor and a director or the producers can change your entire performance. Nobody can do that to me on stage. I can use all my power, all my voice, all my energy, and nobody can step in front and say, cut. I like it.
Would you say this is your dream role?
Oh, one of them, absolutely. I feel like this is the best work I've ever done in my life. I really do.
Well, thank you for speaking with us today, Kathleen
Turner.
It was
a pleasure.
That's All Things Considered from NPR News. I'm Debbie Elliott.